Hello, hello. This is episode 3. Thanks for tuning in. As always, I am TJ Foster, and my 8-year-old recently tried to get me drunk.
I'm Corey Dempsey, and this week my dude launched himself off a 5-foot counter. Welcome to Dad Rock.
All right, so before we get into these fun stories here, today is actually my middle daughter's birthday, so she's turning 9. So up until this point, I referred to her as my 8-year-old, and now I'll start referring to her as my 9-year-old. For those who can do math,
what time was she born? Is she 9 yet?
Technically, no.
Okay,
3:08
p.m.
And I only know that because my wife said it this morning. Definitely didn't remember that. I'm gonna tell a quick story in honor of her. But in order to do that, we got to rewind for a second back to Christmas and talk about a gift that my sister-in-law gave me, which was something of a gag gift. But it's a giant candy cane. You know, like those candy cane things you put in stockings that are filled with like M&Ms and stuff like that.
It's an actual candy cane.
It's not No.
Okay.
Plastic candy cane, gotcha. That is filled with those little 2-ounce bottles of Fireball.
Okay.
Amazing. There's like 12 or something in them. You may remember I've the past month or so I've been like down and out with like the flu and various shit. So a couple weeks ago, I come down from being holed up in the bedroom for dinner and I sit at the table and I'm just eating. We're all just eating, having an okay time. Everyone's sick, whatever. And I just happen to look up and I'm like, there's a bottle of that Fireball in front of me. What the hell's going on? Why is this here? I didn't take this out. I just kind of pick it up, and I'm just like, where did this come from? And my 8-year-old sitting right next to me, she just goes, oh, I thought it would make you feel better. I'm like, okay, perfect. So, yeah, she tried to get me drunk. Apparently, that's the medicine for the flu. I don't know. I didn't try it. But
I think Fireball would work.
Fireball might
that
kill.
That, like, cinnamon.
It might kill some stuff. Yeah. So, that's not for her. Happy birthday. She's not going to listen to this, but it's fine.
It's like those airplane bottles, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, if you want to bring them to the next Sad Dad's gig, that is our pre-show
ritual.
I
saw that. Last time we played together, I saw it, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm tempted to jump up and join you guys because, I'm all for putting, like, a little shot of that and some cider.
Yeah.
It's great.
A little hot toddy.
Hell, yeah. Yeah. Hell, yeah. Tell me about this launching off a counter.
Yeah, so... I don't know if these existed when your kids were younger. Well, certainly your 3-year-old. Do you guys have a bumbo seat?
A bumbo? No, I don't know if I know what that is.
So it's basically like a high chair. It's like a booster seat where, you know, it's got a little tray in front of him. And so we like lock him into there and put him up on the counter. And that's usually how we do like breakfast and lunch. Like dinner, we'll all eat together. He has his proper high chair by the dinner table, but like lunch and breakfast, like, because I don't eat breakfast and lunch, I'm usually doing stuff, so like I just put him up on this bumbo seat on the counter, you know, feed him, and like I was telling you, like, he just is in this mode right now where he gets really upset when he is made to do things that he doesn't want to do in that very moment.
Okay,
so he was just not into having lunch that day. And he was freaking out, and, you know, I got him to eat. He, like, kind of started to chill. So then I went into, you know, my usual lunch mode where I'm, like, trying to be a productive member of the household. I'm, you know, doing dishes, so my back's turned to him. And then I'm also preparing my lunch and, like, putting in the microwave. So I'm doing stuff. My back's turned to him. And all of a sudden, I just hear this crash.
Oh, shit.
And he is still locked into the bumbo seat. And he is on the ground.
Oh, my God.
So he just rocked this thing off the counter, and he's locked into the bumbo seat. So he kind of just went, like, face first. Oh, luckily, the tray in front of him, like, broke the fall.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually smash his face.
Whew.
But, like, his legs definitely hit the ground hard, and, like, he's got some bruises on his knees.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, it was hilarious, and I'm glad that he's okay, but, like, it was funny as hell when I turned around and he's just on the ground.
It's one of those things, like, you're, like, laughing, but, like, also, like, oh, shit, what the fuck just happened to my kid?
Yep.
Oh,
exactly that moment.
My God. Wow. Okay. Million-dollar question. Did he eat his lunch?
No, we kind of abandoned ship after that.
Yeah, okay.
And then I just gave him like two pouches and we watched a movie to get him like under control. Whew. So no, we abandoned ship on lunch and just went pouch route.
Yeah, that's fair. He will probably never do that again.
No.
You would hope.
No, and he's done it out of his crib too, where like he climbed out of his crib one time. Because he was upset that I put him down for a nap. And then, like, usually it's like, all right, he's upset for like 2 minutes and then he just falls asleep.
Yeah.
On this day, he climbed up onto the railing and then I just heard a smack. I look at the monitor. He is not in the crib.
Oh, Jesus.
I go upstairs. He is on the ground just wailing. And I was just like, okay. But after that one time, never did it again.
Okay. Okay. So he's got some major daredevil energy.
Oh yeah, he's absolutely like he is very much a daredevil, has no fear, and I like that about him.
Yeah,
but like, and I'm also glad that he's just learning lessons. Like when he, you know, fucks himself up, he's like, all right, maybe be a little more careful next time.
That's how my 3-year-old is, very much like no fear. She would always like launch herself off. We have like one of those play couches in her room. She just like launch herself off of it on the floor, smack into furniture, whatever the case may be, and just hysterically laughing. Do it again, you know? And like my 8, now 9-year-old is like the complete opposite. Like just super cautious, everything's scary. It's kind of how I was, honestly, as a kid.
I don't know if I'm like bringing it out of him because like we do like to roughhouse together.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, maybe that's just like dad stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like I'm bringing that out in him because like we wrestle and like,
yeah,
you know, his favorite thing is I just like bring him over to the couch and I shout baby deposit and I just drop him on the couch and he hysterically laughs, then runs back to me. He's like, do it again.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, well. Yep. So like, he just loves that shit.
I do the same thing with my 3-year-old. Baby deposit's good though. I haven't used that one before, but it's mostly with our bed. She'll come into our room and she'll want me to pick her up, and I just throw her in the air and just lands on the bed, laughs, repeat.
So we do it all the time. And the other day, I was just like in that mode, and my wife was in the bed, and when I launched him, I launched him onto her. It did not end well.
Oh, Jesus.
It was not a soft landing for him, and she was like, "What the fuck?" And I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think. Like, it just doesn't register for me. And then I'm like, afterwards, I'm like, shit, that was a bad move.
There was one time I did it, and one of our cats was definitely burrowed under the blanket. And I don't know if she landed, like, right on top of him. She definitely, like, clipped him and scared the shit out of him. And we both, like, kind of just stopped, like, frozen, just be like, what the hell just happened? Like, the cat just, like, beelines out from under the blanket, out of the room. Oh my God! Have not thrown the child onto her mom yet, though. So
I'd avoid that from experience.
Good
don't
to know.
Recommend.
Good to know. Oh man! All right, I'm really excited about our guest today. He is the owner, operator, engineer extraordinaire of the Bunker Recordings, a studio he essentially built out of an in-law apartment on his property down in the Catskill area. He has credits on records by some bands you've definitely heard of, like The Lumineers, Vance Joy, Jade Bird, Bob Weir, Shawn Mendes, and perhaps most importantly, he and his wife welcomed their first child not that long ago. So with all that going on, he was gracious enough to drive up to the Capital Region from Catskill in the snow to be with us today in person. It's first for us, right, Corey?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so thank you for doing that. Say hello to Mike Dwyer, everybody.
Hey, happy to be here.
Thank you so much, dude. You haven't, no one's heard this podcast yet, but obviously you have not either. But leading into the guest segment, Corey and I like to exchange stories about our kids from the week prior or something recent, just something ridiculous that happened. So I just wanted to ask you, do you have any fun stories about your son lately that you wouldn't mind sharing with us and the people?
Sure. Well, since we're all musicians here, we'll go with a music-related one.
Yeah. Perfect.
You know, a lot of the time in the morning when he's, you know, right as he's waking up, I try to just find something to entertain him with when he first gets up so that he doesn't just destroy the house within the first 2 minutes of being awake. But so I was down in the studio just working on some stuff in the morning. So I just brought up like any instrument that I thought maybe he could have a good time with. So a bunch of shakers, tambourines, and a harmonica. I said, he might be able to figure that out. Well, turns out he loves the harmonica. So literally spent like 2 days straight just with the harmonica just glued to his mouth, just hours, hours, hours. So I'm afraid I might have a musician on my hands now.
You and your wife are probably thrilled about all that harmonica noise. I know my kids also loved the harmonica when they were about that age.
Uh-huh.
And they would spend days at a time just walking around the house doing it at some point. Just that frequency got to be like, you know, nails on a chalkboard, you know?
I was gonna say, I'm okay with it. The beauty of a harmonica is that it's in key.
It's always in key.
It's always in key.
As long as you don't get a chromatic one, but I'm not going to do that. Yeah. So he's always in key at least. So,
perfect.
You know, it's guaranteed to not sound too bad. So I don't mind the sound of it. I listen to noise all day. So
yeah,
I haven't tried the harmonica with him yet, but that's a great recommendation because like he's fully on drums.
Uh-huh.
And I got him an electric kit.
Nice.
You know, I talked about last week because I got drunk and built it full dad mode.
Heck yeah.
But I got to try the harmonica.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. It's portable. It's metal and
it's easy.
Almost unbreakable.
Yeah.
And again, it's always in key.
Mm-hmm. So sounds like you, how old is your son now? He's
coming up on two. He'll be two in 2 months.
That's great. Wow. Time flies, man.
It does.
That's crazy.
That freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, I know. So sounds like he spends some time in your studio. How, I guess, two questions here, right? Like, how is he in that environment, and does he really understand at all, like, what you do at this point?
I don't think he has any idea what I do.
Yeah, okay.
But he does love any time I let him hang out in the studio. Again, he knows where my percussion cubby is, so... if the second his feet hit the floor, he just runs to the percussion, grabs some shakers, tambourines, gets them all out, and just goes wild.
That's awesome.
Or, sometimes I'll, like, pull a snare drum out, you know, on a really short stand for him and give him some sticks, and he loves whacking away at it. But percussion, that's really where it's at.
That's where he's at?
He's honestly, like, probably a better shaker and tambourine player than most of the people who come into my studio, not going to lie.
Because you overthink those things. They're so simple. Like, if you're a baby, you just do it. And it's like, yeah, that fucking rules.
I have a terrible confession to make about this. So I've been doing, you know, recording and stuff just, like, freelance for a little while since college or whatever, in my home studio, whatever like that. And only in the last couple months did I finally realize how to use the quantizing function.
Mm-hmm.
So now instead of doing 8 takes of shaker and tambourine on my own, giving myself a fucking hernia, I'll do it once and I'll hit the quantize. Oh man, this just saved me so much time. What a magical button that is.
You could just hire my 2-year-old and he'll...
I might...
he'll nail all the shaker takes
might
for
do
you
that.
Instead. Don't have to worry about it at all.
do that.
But yes, quantizing on percussion. Oh, such a valuable
such
thing.
A beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So most engineers and recording people that I've met are pretty OCD and like pretty organized. Does that like when he comes in and starts making a mess of the studio, like does that, have you gotten over that or does it still give you a bit of a headache?
You know, I'm not like super uptight about like crazy cleanliness and stuff in the studio or organization or whatever. Like if you showed up at my studio for a session, it's going to be nice and clean and organized and stuff. But like by the end of the session, there will be a layer of chaos there. Because again, like I like playing around. So band comes in, we'll pull out a bunch of different amps and try different drums on different stuff. So like, you know, it gets a little messy in almost every session. And, you know, there's something kind of nice about that, I think, where you look around at the end and there's just piles of pedals on the floor. And, you know, just like, I think we did something good here today.
What was it, Julie? Didn't Julia bring in like a turntable, like an old turntable from like Goodwill or something? She was telling me.
Yeah, she brought everything in. We have fun. But yeah, so that one, it was some like portable record player that has speakers built in, and she brought in I think a record of like I don't know Baroque period organ music or something something like that, and some weird little microphone. You know, with a quarter inch plug,
like a Radio Shack kind of like deal,
something but like older, like pre Radio Shack. It was something weird and old. We looked it up while she was over. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was just something weird and quirky. But yeah, so she put the record on and we mic'd up the speaker with her goofy little mic. And then yeah, she was just like playing the record and like slowing it down and speeding it up and slowing it down and just making this weird wobbly nonsense. And then we threw some plugins on it to make it weirder and wobblier and more messed up. And that's on her record. And it's one of my favorite moments from the record too.
I've talked to both you and her separately about your experiences working together. And it just like the vision in my head is like this like mad scientist laboratory just trying like the definition of just throwing shit at the wall. And I think that kind of speaks to, like the organized chaos that you're talking about, like kind of embracing and it helps you. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that I had to get over. Cause like I get super OCD about this stuff. Like this idea came because my guy was messing with my pedal knobs, and like that first time it gave me like a hernia. Cause I'm so specific about like all my settings. Like I get in that mode. And now I'm just like, fuck it. What's the big deal? Like, it's no worries. So like now, you know, I also have like a huge DVD collection that used to be all like perfectly organized and like alphabetized and everything. And now that shit's just a mess. And I've just embraced it all. And I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Have a whale, dude.
Exactly. By the way, I have a fun story from somebody else's kid related to the story of your son twisting all the knobs on your pedal board.
Yeah.
This was a handful of years ago before I had a kid, but I was working at a commercial studio at the time, and the owner of the studio had a kid, and she was probably two, maybe three, probably two at the time. And I was doing a session with Neil Dorfman, who's legendary producer. And we'd just gotten like drum tones dialed in, using like all the outboard gear and stuff. And there's a big rack with, six distressors in it. And, then the studio owner just comes by to say, hey, and he's got his daughter with him, and his daughter just runs up to the distressors and just goes, whoosh, just turns all the knobs on them in one fellow swoosh.
Like Buddy the Elf in the elevator.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah, okay. And I look over at Neil and he's just like, no. Oh my God. It was kind of amazing.
My only point of reference to that is my kids both, when they were about that age, two, three of them, that they love to go up to my guitars and turn the tuning knobs. So whenever I'll pick, it's a complete shot in the dark what my guitar will sound like when I pick it up if it's near a child.
That's scary. Anytime I tune up like the E string, you know, there's that classic thing of like D sharp. Oh god.
Yep.
So the idea of a small child doing that.
Yeah.
No, it's actually and like embracing it has been good because I had this. I have one of those like crazy Boss multi-effects pedals. And through his like incessant turning and not knowing what he's doing, I discovered like a new function on it that I like quite like. And I had like never gone that deep because there's just so many things on this pedal. And I'm just like, whatever, I'm just going to use it for these three things that I need it for. But then I never like sat down and explored it. And then all of a sudden I discovered something and I was like, oh, this is cool.
See, he's just trying to help you find some new
tones. He's trying to help me out.
You're sick of your old tone. And got to try something new, Dad. Come on.
Embracing it has been a good thing, but it's also like you just have to, because like otherwise you're going to give yourself a freaking migraine.
Oh, for sure. Like a day with my son, if I didn't embrace at least some of the chaos, my whole day would just be following him around, picking up whatever he just took out, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely my wife's role. I never See, I kind of, I wouldn't say thrive, but that's the word I'm going to use. I kind of thrive in that organized chaos. Like before you guys got here, I was like, why are there so many goddamn wires on the ground? Tangled up, not hooked up to anything. What am I doing? And it's just, I don't know. It's terrible, but here we are. What about like outside the studio, like in your household, you and your wife, like kind of embracing that sort of that chaos that Corey's talking about? Like, how does that kind of translate?
My wife has definitely not embraced it as much as I have. You know, my thing is like, I'll let him go wild and, you know, make at least a moderate mess.
Yeah.
Throughout the day. And then we'll
one
get it picked up
at
later.
The end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife definitely struggles a little bit more with that. She's in general much more of an organized person. So yeah, when she just sees, she's getting there. She's starting to be like, okay, it can be a mess for a little while. We'll deal with it at the end of the day. But that definitely took her longer to get used to. Cause she would just be, yeah, practically following him around. And as soon as he moved on to something else, be like, okay, let's pick this up. Oh, now we got to pick that up. Now we got to do that.
No matter what happens, it's inevitable. I think as a parent, you got to just throw up the white flag and say, you win. Like, the child has won the war, and this is my life now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, it's their persistence is just, there's nothing like it. So, like, you just have to embrace it. And, like, that's what I've done now. I have two designated cleanup times. One is, like, 2 o'clock when he's down for his nap. Mm-hmm. And then one is like between 8 and 8:30 once he's down for bed.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the time, it's just who knows where the fuck anything is. I'll find it later.
Before you got here, Corey was telling a story about how his son just basically launched himself off of their kitchen counter while sitting in a seat, refusing to eat lunch. But then we started talking about how rambunctious Both our young ones are. Like my 3-year-old daughter is no fear, completely. Like what's your son's kind of personality in that regard? Is he like a just I'm gonna run into the wall, I'm gonna laugh it
oh,
off
yeah.
and keep going? That's okay.
Yeah, no, he's a wild man. like literally from the day he was born, he wanted to move.
Okay.
Like literally the day he was born, he was already like lifting his head and looking around and it's like,
that's wild.
Settle down.
Yeah.
Too fast. And oh, that continued and has only amplified. Yeah. He's just like all energy, just go, go, go.
So I'm picturing now between that and the love of percussion already, he's going to be basically Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah.
Behind
pretty
the
much.
Drums.
That checks out.
I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Have you noticed any kind of responses to music from him? Cause like I have some interesting ones that like are kind of out of left field, but I'm wondering if you have had some of that like experience where like he has certain responses to different music.
I don't know about necessarily different music.
Okay.
Music in general, he's always loved. You know, a friend of ours bought him, have you seen those little, Lug brand guitars?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
like yep. little miniature.
Yeah, I got one up 3-string. Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of ours bought one of those for him, and it was at our house when we got home from the hospital. And
that's
like,
awesome.
He loves that thing. He's just getting old enough where he can like kind of hold it and pluck at it himself. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I would just strum away at it. And, you know, for a while when he was really young, like if he was just having a fit, just pissed off about whatever it is babies are pissed off about,
yeah.
you know, just some strums on that and he just lights up and everything's okay now.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah. When, super, super cool.
When they're so like before they've almost even like learned how to like sit up and they're just kind of like lifting their heads and they kind of stop everything they're doing when they hear you play like a guitar or something. Mm. And they're just like fascinated. Like, I don't know. I have these very visceral memories of all 3 of my kids, like, looking up at me like their eyes just get really wide and like, oh, what is that? And they uh-huh. try and like touch and like, oh, it's just, that's such like a good core memory.
Oh, for sure.
For yeah. parents. I don't know about the kids. They're not gonna remember that shit, but it's just, it's just a really.
But you kind of hope it's like ingrained deep within them almost. Like,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they're not gonna remember the specific memory, but like these things become part of their, you know, DNA, so to speak. And mm-hmm. they just like, that's, at least for me, like that's the goal. Like,
yeah.
Hopefully it just becomes like a part of them.
No, absolutely.
How about like, so obviously, you know, when he's down in the studio with you, he's hearing music or whatever you're working on. But you guys, do you and your wife like play music around the house? Like, is it more of a, lively type of household in that regard? Or do you find that because you've been working on music all day, you're like, I just need some fucking silence and I'm not going to listen to anything, and that's what it is? Like, yeah.
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
We don't play music a ton in the house. Sometimes, absolutely. And we always have it on in the car. Anytime we're on car rides, he's listening to music. And again, like when he was really young, you know, now we'll just chill in the car, but when he was really young, you know, maybe not having the best time, but we had like a handful of songs where we'd put those on and just, again, like instantly happy.
What were those?
interestingly enough, I think most of them were by this band called Strange Neighbors. They're like,
they're on our label. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. I forgot you were on the same label as them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're a group that I've recorded like a billion times.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how that happened, but, I don't remember which song it was by them, but one of their songs just became for a long time, like that was the song that would cheer him up.
That did it.
And would, you know, for a while we would use the car just to put him to sleep if he was not wanting to nap and we needed him to nap, just go for a quick car ride. And again, like some of their songs,
that's awesome.
Just knock him out.
Corey's got a good one.
Yeah. I mean, my guy loves metal music.
Heck yeah. And,
like, it's the same thing. And he's in this mode right now that, you know, I've talked with TJ about, where like, anytime I try and get him to do something that he does not want to do, he throws a shit fit.
Mm-hmm.
And like that manifests with car rides now, because he's just like, I don't want to go in the car.
Uh-huh.
So like he has no problem with car rides and he like chills out and then he's fine. But like getting in the car is a thing. And then whenever I put on metal, he just instantly chills out. And I think it's because like my favorite record the year he was born was Knocked Loose. I was listening to it constantly, so I feel like it just became part of him that he's just like a metal fan now.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
So like loud screaming chills him out.
Okay, so going off of that, so my studio is the bottom floor of my house,
mm-hmm.
And there is some soundproofing, but soundproofing is really, really hard, so it is far from perfect. So you can, you know, drums being absurdly loud, like you can still hear those pretty well upstairs. Liam naps, his best naps are when there's drums wailing away below him. And I theorize, no idea if this has anything to do with anything, but towards the end of my wife's pregnancy, I was super, super busy in the studio those last few months and just had bands over constantly. So he heard a whole lot of drums before he was born.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if something about that is just cozy and comforting him.
Apparently, this is the thing, and they did it in this movie called Shoot 'Em Up, which is a ridiculous movie with Clive Owen. But like this
Holy
kid,
shit, I haven't seen that in ages.
This kid was like in utero, and his mom was hanging around a metal club.
Uh-huh.
And then they discovered that the kid loves metal music, and he chills out when there's metal. So like... And apparently this is a thing, and like we tried it too, where like I was just constantly, and I heard jazz and hip hop were like the two that were really like good, because then they can understand like complex rhythms and, you know, lots of words all at once. So like I would just put a Bluetooth speaker next to my wife's womb essentially and like play jazz tunes or like hip hop tunes. And
nice.
I don't know if it had any effect, but that's,
but maybe,
yeah, but
you'll,
maybe.
You'll find out soon enough. Yeah.
I definitely heard that before of like putting the headphones on the belly and playing like, classical music or something.
Yeah,
I don't think we did that, but again, just lots of drumming through the floor.
Mike, you just reminded me, I haven't really thought about this in a while, but when my youngest was, she stopped napping pretty quickly, which sucks, by the way. It really sucks. But she would always nap, so we usually practiced right where we're sitting, and she would always kind of be just going down or like had just gone down, whatever, for a nap right around the time when we start practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we practiced, I was like, you know, we have to do this. And my wife was all like freaking out. I was like, well, the kid's got a nap. Like, what are we going to do? I'm just like, I don't know. We'll do our best. We'll try and keep it down. And she was out like the second the drum started. And then for a while, like every time a drummer would come over and start playing the drums, she would just, her naps would be amazing.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, and it was
there's something to it.
And I mean, you know, you can see this room, right? There's no soundproofing whatsoever. Like this goes right up through the fucking duct work. But yeah, there's, God, I hadn't thought about that in a while. That's interesting.
Yeah, because again,
I think it's the same. Like I practice my guitar usually while he's napping, and
yeah,
it has no effect whatsoever on
him. Uh-huh.
And it's, I guess it's just probably like an additional white noise like thing for them, where it's just like that just helps them relax.
Which brings up a good point. So you're not, I guess this goes to both of you. Like, are you guys worried about? Does your son nap still?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, are you guys worried about? Sounds like no, making noise while they're napping. Like, do you guys like tiptoe around? Like, because I was whatever. I'm just like, I don't want to move a fucking muscle because they're sleeping and I don't want to wake them up. And I just would be totally silent. But.
So yes and no.
Okay.
Again, like I'll have bands over recording.
Yeah.
Slamming away on drums. No concern at all.
Yeah.
But if we're upstairs, you know, it could be purely coincidental that a handful of times when I was upstairs and, you know, moved an inch, he woke up. But yeah, if we're upstairs, I'm like tiptoeing around.
Yeah.
Lately, the last like, I don't know, at least a couple months maybe, like on the weekends, if I'm not working, my wife will come downstairs into the studio with me during his nap. Because mm-hmm. again, we can do whatever the hell we want down there. No
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But upstairs, it's like, oh, I got to pee. I don't want to have to tiptoe to the bathroom.
It's the same. Like I cannot walk by his door because it's like he has a sense that,
uh-huh.
oh, you're there. It's time to get up. But yeah. I can play my guitar dimed out down in the basement. And
you're fine.
No yeah, I don't worries. Know what that is. It's the same yeah. thing.
I wonder if it's like a familiarity with like how you're like how the floor creaks or something outside. I don't know. I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah,
it's
I don't know.
So stupid. But it's just like same thing, like walking or like. Yeah, God forbid you got to go to the bathroom. Like, God, I really don't want to. I don't want to piss too loud. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, or I'm just, it's too much information. But I'm not going to flush the toilet yet because I don't want to fucking wake the kid up.
Oh, middle of the night, we both have agreed no flushing.
No, 100%. Thank you. Thank you for that validation. I appreciate it.
The morning comes and it's just like pure like brown piss. And it's just like, Jesus.
Oh, God.
And yeah. And then first thing in the morning, whoever wakes up, you got to just flush the toilet first thing. Because no flushing while the baby is sleeping.
Yes.
That is a no-go.
That's a good hard rule.
I was going to say, for us, he's been good at nighttime. So we can, I mean, we try not to be loud just because it's night. But
yeah.
But like, that's not too big of a deal. We'll watch a movie or whatever. We'll talk, whatever. Not a problem. It's just the nap that's always been...
Oh, yeah.
So sensitive.
Well, it's because if they don't nap, then they don't sleep at night, and then your whole day is just shot.
Well, and also, like, at night, like, we know he'll go back to bed
yeah.
if he wakes up.
Right.
But nap time, like, that's not always a guarantee.
Nope.
Yep.
So if he wakes up 20 minutes into a nap...
Chances are he's not going back down. Yeah.
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 Zero.
It's going to be a bad day.
It's going to be a bad day, yeah. What was... I'm curious for you, on, like, a professional level, like, what was the transition like... From obviously, you know, you said you built this studio. We spoke recently. It was like 7 years ago,
something like that. Give or take 7, 8, somewhere around there.
So you've been working there for 5, 6 years, whatever, and then you have a young child, right? And
mm-hmm.
Baby, now a toddler, whatever. What was that transition like for you in terms of, you know, how you work, how you schedule things? Did nothing really change? And yeah, I'm just curious.
Definitely been some changes. As far as like days when I'm tracking bands and whatever, that hasn't changed too dramatically. You know, my mom has been really helpful with that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I'll bring him over there in the morning. You know, if I've got somebody over recording. But yeah, just like the other days when it's just me doing mixing or editing and all that stuff, that definitely took a little bit of adjustment, a little bit of getting used to. I think I underestimated maybe the difficulty of that, or
yeah,
maybe just how much time babies need
consume. Yeah.
But so again, like, you know, like when he was first born, I remember talking to some friends who have a kid who's about a year older mm-hmm. than mine when my wife was still pregnant. And, you know, they were like, oh, yeah, what's the plan for work here? Like, what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, tracking days, drop him off with the grandparents. And then,
yeah.
you know, he'll just hang in there in the control room with me and we'll mix. Cool.
And then they like, laugh at you.
Like, oh, that's, yeah. They were looking at me. They were just like... Oh,
oh boy.
Cool. Like, you have no idea.
And I did have no idea.
Yeah.
So I was fine for like 6 to 8 months when he was like vegetable.
When they don't move.
When they don't move. Yeah. Like, that was fine. I could like have my laptop. He would just hang out. Like, I'd play music. He would just hang out and like, woo, whatever. And I could like sit there and write.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he was mobile, all of that went out the window because he is just everywhere. And like, if I sit down at my laptop, he comes over and starts banging on it. And I'm just
classic.
Like, fuck, I can't do this right now.
Yeah. See, the thing with, like I mentioned earlier, like my son was so just go, 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 as much as a newborn can be go, go, go. So like, even when he was really, really young, you know, I'd try putting him in like a pack and play in the studio or something. And he'd just be like, nah, I need more space than this.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, even when he was super young, that was pretty challenging. Yeah. So, you know, it just kind of became, you know, do mixing first thing in the morning and then during naps and then later at night and stuff.
So you find those pockets of time that work for both you and him. And you kind of just, that's how
exactly.
It works.
So okay, just, yeah. You know, just kind of separate him into when he's sleeping or whatever.
It's always on their terms, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's when I'll work. And then when he's up, we'll hang out.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously that took some adjustment. You know, I went down a whole rabbit hole of, trying to figure out how to make like mixing on headphones work. For instance,
yeah.
Because initially, like again, like late at night after my wife went to bed, I was like, "All right, let me just, like spend an extra hour or two here," and it started out with just like, "Let me tune some vocals or some mix prep stuff that didn't require like critical listening." But it got to a point where it's like, "I would really like to be able to like actually work on this mix right now."
Yeah.
So you know, I had to do a little experimenting there, bought some expensive headphones and some tools based on that. Which has been a dramatic help, huge help being able to do that. Cause again, now any time of day, if I have the time,
that's kind of one of the things that kind of, changed for me too. Again, I don't do, nearly the caliber of work you do, but when I'm working on something that I've recorded or demoed or whatever, it's always that, okay, once the kids are in bed, I'm worried about anything coming through the monitors because, so that's kind of, again, headphones are great. And that's when I started doing like, okay, well, I can't record guitar through my amp at 9 o'clock at night, but that's when I like playing it. So then you go out and you invest in pedals and tools and this and that. And at some point, I don't know if this happens. Well, no, probably not for you because you're doing it in a more professional environment than I am. But I eventually got to a point where I was like, these are the tools I have now. And I'll listen to the thing in the morning. I'm like, yeah, this sounds good enough. It's fine. I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, I can't, that's life. But I imagine that's a little different for you because, you know.
Yeah, like I said, like.
You're on the clock.
it was definitely challenging. Like, I've been working on, you know, on the monitors that I have for, I don't know, 12 years or something now.
Yeah.
And in that room specifically for 7 or 8, whatever however long I've had that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've tried to like make the switch to headphones in the past multiple times and just never quite got there.
Yeah, no, it's
so again, it was a bit of a rabbit hole trying to figure out how to make that work. But I did, and I actually really like it now. Like I still work on my monitors during the day and during his naps stuff.
Yeah.
But again, if I'm down there at 11 p.m. or whatever and my wife's in bed, I'm not gonna be blasting the speakers.
How is that balance between your and your wife's schedules? Like, obviously, you know, introducing essentially a wild card into the mix, right, is an adjustment for any relationship too, and household really. So how do you guys kind of coexist with your respective, you know, schedules?
Yeah, I mean, we just kind of make it work, you know. You know, before our son was born, you know, I kind of loosely based my schedule off of hers anyway, because, again, like if I'm just mixing today, then,
do whenever. Yeah.
Yeah. I can kind of work whenever. So, so again, just kind of base that around her work schedule so that at the time we had the most time together and whatever. But yeah, so I mean, it's definitely taken adjustments again.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you just kind of make it work. You know, I try as much as possible to just like be mostly done working by the time she gets home from work, so we can hang out for a little while.
Yeah.
But she also understands that, you know, sometimes I'm like, I got to get this song done for this group. And, so tonight I'm just going to sneak down there once you get home until dinner time, and then we'll hang out after dinner, you know?
I don't know if this happens with mixing, but I always find it difficult sometimes where, like, you know, you have these little windows to work and be creative,
mm-hmm.
but like, especially like when you try and force it and it's not there, it's just like, well, shit, this isn't going to happen. Nothing's happening right now. Does that happen with mixing too? Where you're like, I'm in no headspace. I have no energy for this. Like,
definitely to an extent. Okay. I think I had already been working on that problem long before having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, again, like people paying me to do this, like if I set a deadline, if I tell them I'm going to have your song done by this date, like I got to get it done. So, you know, for a long time, I found it important to just like focus on like habit and consistency over inspiration. And like the more you work that, like I just go down there and I work, and, you know, maybe today I'm not, you know, totally in a flow state and I'm not feeling 1000% creative, but like just do it anyway. And it might take longer, or maybe the next day I'll come back and be like, I don't love what I did here. Let me do some of that again. But I just found that the more I make myself do it, the less kind of lows I'll have with it.
Yeah.
I've kind of built up the muscle of being able to just, yeah, show up and perform at least pretty well, regardless of how I'm feeling. and I mean, again, that has amplified since having a kid, because, one, I have less time, and two, I'm more tired more frequently.
Yeah.
So again, there are some days where I'm sitting there and, you know, at the end of that nap period, I'm like, well, that was not productive. But I go and I try. And again, if it doesn't happen, then the next day I'll fix whatever I did a lousy job on. But yeah, again, I feel like just consistently doing it, makes it so I don't need the inspiration as much. Like, there are still days where I'll feel extra inspired and, you know, just fly through some project because of that. And that's awesome. But again, if I just like sat around waiting for the inspiration, there would be a lot of bands still waiting on their mixes.
I've thought about that so much, about that forced creativity thing. And I actually made a point to, I don't really do like, you know, not like a New Year's resolution thing, but one thing I wanted to try and do this year is like, okay, I want to be doing something creative at least 30 minutes every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if at the end of the day I'm like, oh shit, I've been working all day, I haven't done anything, I'm like, okay, let me just go down and I'm just gonna record some shit. I don't know what it's gonna be. It could be total garbage. But I found it's helped me with two things. Number one, it's helped me get over that hump of like, oh, some of this stuff is actually turning out decent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also making me overthink a little less, I think, too. Where because of having those limited windows of time, I'm like, okay, how should I say this? Would I be happy if anyone else heard this in its current state? And if the answer is yes, then it's like, okay, well then just keep going, like, mm-hmm. finish it up. Like, don't worry about getting this pitch perfect, this tone pitch perfect, this and that. It's like, you only have so much time. It's not gonna. I have projects that I haven't finished that I started 7-8 years ago because I can't stop thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
Once you kind of force yourself to sit down and just do it for a little bit, I don't know. I found that to be very, very beneficial. So
no, yeah. And like you said, like that's the state that I've gotten to where I just do it. And sometimes, you know, the words don't come or the fingers aren't working or whatever. But like, I try every day, and then sometimes you just get into that flow state, even mm-hmm. though maybe you weren't initially feeling inspired, but like, you get there because you sat down to do it.
Exactly.
Other days, nothing happens, and it's just like, ah, well, fuck it. but the days where it does, you just get into it, and then all of a sudden it's 2 hours later, and like I had just written 3,800 pages or 3,800 words, and I was like, oh, hot damn.
3,800 pages, Jesus.
That would be impressive.
That's too many. That's crazy.
3,800 words. Yeah, I was like, okay.
I think I had heard a quote probably from like Stephen King or something about that. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, it was basically just like, if you want to write, like, set aside a time and just do it
every day.
It might suck, and
yeah,
it's okay.
You gotta write some more the next day. You got to get the garbage out, I guess. Yeah, that's...
Like I said, like the more you do that, I just think the better you get at it. So, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. We've taken up a ton of your time, so thank you, number one. But before we wrap this thing up, outside of the studio and your house and stuff, what do you and most importantly your son like to do for just fun, enjoyment? What are your favorite things to kind of do together?
I don't know, a lot of stuff. He loves being outside, which has not been my favorite thing this winter.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great in the summer.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the summer again, because he loves just being outside. Even when he was like an infant, there was a period there where like if he was inside, he was pissed. And if we just brought him outside, he's like, ah, here we go. Much better.
Sun, yeah.
So again, just like running around the yard. I don't know. We're looking forward to the summer. Got a season pass to the zoo, so
nice.
Right down the road from us. So we're going to be spending a lot of time.
Oh, that's
staring at animals.
Hell yeah,
he loves
the zoo. Fucking rules.
Yeah, man.
Like I was always against it as a child myself, but now as an adult, and now that I have a child, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go to the zoo.
I love the zoo.
Same.
My wife and I were going to the zoo before we had a kid, so now it's less weird.
It's a good trip with kids. One of my favorite memories of my middle daughter, who turns 9 today, we took her to this zoo. I can't remember what zoo it was. It was some like small zoo, and she was between 1 and 2 years old, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to the giraffes, and she's just like stoked. She's like sees these giant giraffes, and one of them's like really close to the edge. So me being like, you know, bit of an asshole, whatever. I'm just like, oh, you want to go see the giraffe? And I go and I like hold her up, like put her on my shoulders. And the second I put her there, the giraffe like leans over the fence and licks her face.
Oh, no.
Giant tongue comes out of the giraffe.
Oh,
we're
brutal.
Just like, oh my God.
Giraffe tongues are gnarly.
Too. They are.
It was, it was just such a priceless moment.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, zoos are awesome. That's great.
But yeah, okay. He loves animals, loves birds.
Yeah.
We've got like a little bird feeder that like attaches to the window in our living room.
Yeah.
So anytime one flies up, you know, it's like 4 inches from there and he just like jumps up and usually scares it away in the process. But
yeah. Right. like a cat.
Yeah, exactly. But so the zoo by us has some big old peacocks. So we'll see what he thinks of giant birds. See how
That's
that
awesome.
Goes.
That's awesome. Every episode we are going to do this segment at the end that Corey came up with that we're just deeming homework at the moment, where we assign each other homework. But since you are actually here in person, for the listener, we do all these normally via Zoom, but we're all sitting here today in person. So would you like to be a part of this homework?
Sure.
What's assignment? Okay. So sure. Basically, well, I'll let you explain it because you're going to do a better job than me, but... Go ahead. Yeah.
So basically it's, you know, we give each other things to do with the kids or with each other. So like the first week I had him listen to Knocked Loose with his girls to get their reaction to it and see, you know, what they thought.
If metal worked on them
if
or
metal
just
worked
his
on
son.
Them,
yeah.
It's just my son. It's just my son, apparently. and this week, TJ gave me a album from the Terrible Twos. The Get Up Kids, Matt Pryor, has a kids' music band. So that I listened to with my son this week.
Specifically the song, a song called Great Big Poop, just as incredible as you would think it would be.
Nice.
But yeah, so, how did that go?
Well, Great Big Poop was a big... big downer. We did not like that song.
Okay.
I did not like that song. He did not like that song.
Okay.
But the first album...
incredible.
Something About an Owl. I'm forgetting the name of it now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Something About an Owl. We were big on that album. We listened to the whole thing like 2 or 3 times. Something About... 11, and then it's track two. Hold on, I got to get my phone out and get
those
track names.
Oh, God, it's been years since I've listened to this, but something about counting to 11 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a math song that we really liked.
Yep.
And then Pizza and Chocolate Milk was a definite favorite. We really liked that one. And when we were listening to that one, the dude has this dance move that he always does. And I know this is an audio medium, but I'm going to do it for you. Where he just like does this. And like, this is how he dances, where he just bends his knees up and down and usually grabs his crotch. He was doing that move when we were listening to Pizza and Chocolate Milk. So the first album, which is called If You Ever See an Owl.
There you go. That's what it is. Yep.
Great album.
Yeah.
Highly recommend for anyone with. And it ruled for me because like a lot of these children's music, I'm just like, this is such fucking bullshit. I hate this. But this was like actual music. And I was like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Great Big Poop. Not a fan. But
no.
That album was awesome. And that will be added to the rotation. We'll listen to that.
That one song, it definitely was just like a novelty thing. Yeah. I don't know what it was though, but like when we discovered that, like my oldest especially, like that was what she wanted to listen to in the car. to describe it to you, Mike, it is basically just Matt Pryor and his son. I don't know how old he was at the time, but he was probably 3 or 4. And he's basically just down there smacking a floor tom, and they're both just yelling "Great Big Poop," and then he goes "Tiny Classic. Tiny Poop" in between. It's hilarious, and it's you know,
could it's you a novelty item?
Could you call it a song? I don't really know. It's on a record, so I do call it a song. But
yeah, that counts for something.
Man, she loved that song. So I don't know. It's just like the first thing that came to mind. So anyway, thank you for that. Now it is your turn to assign me something. And Mike, if you would like to participate, you can report back after the fact.
We'll do.
Or if you want to give us homework, and then we can talk about it on the next episode. Do you have anything that you would like to share?
You do yours first.
Okay.
For us, I'll ponder while you're doing that.
Yeah.
So, TJ, I know you've watched it, but I'm going to ask you to maybe rewatch or do some research, because next week I just want to have a conversation about sentimental value.
Okay.
This is not necessarily something for the kids. I mean, you could watch it. They probably won't get it. It won't last long on the attention span.
No.
But I want to talk about this because the Stellan Skarsgård character is essentially what this podcast is about. It's about, he's a film director and a shitty dad, and he's trying to come to grips with that. So like, I just want to watch that movie, and I want to have a conversation about sentimental value next week.
Love that.
Yeah. So okay. Not that we're shitty dads, but like, but also basically, does it require being a shitty dad to make great art?
Ooh,
and are
ooh.
We mediocre because we're actually good dads? This is the core philosophical question I want to get at.
Heavy.
Oh man.
Yeah. So
heavy.
Yeah. So we're gonna have a little conversation about sentimental value next week. And if you want to watch it and report back to us, we'll share your feelings on the next episode.
Sounds good.
Do you have anything you want to give us for homework?
Since yours was so heavy,
okay.
Let's do just a nice, light, easy one.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
Should check out Liam, my son's favorite song from when he was an infant.
Okay.
By Strange Neighbors. It's either Tell All Your Friends or Go Tell Your Friends. I think it's Tell All Your Friends.
Okay.
Okay.
See if your
report back.
Your children are as into it as Liam was.
Awesome.
Okay. Again, love that. He would smile, he would be happy.
That's awesome.
When he was really young, he would fall asleep right at the end of it.
That's beautiful.
In a good way, not a bad way.
Strange
neighbors hears this.
Yeah. That's incredible.
It just relaxed him so much that he would go to sleep.
I feel like, you know, if it's an adult and a song puts you to sleep, that's a bad thing. If it's a baby, that's a wildly great compliment.
That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
So like there's that dichotomy there. Like adult, not great. You did a bad job. If a baby falls asleep, perfect song.
Have you ever done those Sparrow Sleeps compilations? Do you know those?
I don't.
Oh, man. Oh, dude, I'm going to blow your mind right now.
All
okay.
right, next week's homework.
It's a lot of homework.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it would constitute homework. So basically, okay. This guy started making lullaby renditions of pop punk and emo songs from the early 2000s. So he would do basically like a compilation of 10 songs from like, I'm trying to think of a, and they're all like, the titles are all like really, really punny. I can't think of one right now. But like, you know, if they would do like, Tell All Your Friends by Taking Back Sunday, it would be something, you know, punny related to having a child or something like that. But they would do, you know, 10 Taking Back Sunday songs all in just like really slow, calm lullaby. And it's like, it makes the kids sleepy, but it's also like, oh, I know these melodies. I know these songs. I'm singing along to them in my head. And so that's a good one. I'm not even going to call that homework. That's just like,
I'll check it out.
But yeah, if you're,
that's
if
just you, a parenting hack.
That's just a parenting hack. Yeah. It's good for you. It's good for them. Yeah. It's awesome.
So that's actually like, that's been my lullaby because I don't know the words to like normal lullabies.
Yeah.
So my lullabies have always been pop punk songs from my childhood. Like
perfect.
I sing Constant Headache by Joyce Manor to my child as a lullaby and he loves it. But it's just because like those are the songs I actually know the words to. If I try to do Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, I'm gone after that line. I'm like, what did they say after this? I don't fucking know.
Oh, that's great.
Incredible. Mike, thank you so much for driving up and doing
absolutely.
This.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is a pleasure, man. I'm so happy you could do this. And best to your wife and your son and all that, and just continued success. So.
Thanks so much.